thanks for being with us here on The New Life Show, a series of talks with Dr. Michael Lightman. Hello, Dr. Lightman. Hello, everyone. Hello, Nitza Mazoz. Hello. Today, we'd like to understand a bit better who we are. We took the most conspicuous characteristics of the Israeli public, of ourselves, and we'd like to understand where do they come from, where are they taking us on our way to a better life. Be with us, Nitza, please. Yeah, as a part of our talks about Israel, about Israel's 70th anniversary, we talked about many things. We talked about the pioneers, Zionism, New Zionism, many things. But today we'd like to focus on the Israelis themselves. Now, this is very interesting. We know that every person is born with certain characteristics, traits, that he gets from his parents, from his family, and so on. But in addition to that, as an Israeli, he gets another set of characteristics. Now, we looked at the very special traits of the Israelis, and we saw that part of these traits are very old, ancient, I'd say, Jewish traits that have been with us for many years. And there are such traits that are kind of newer since we immigrated to Israel. And we have chosen the most conspicuous ones, and we'd like to better understand where do they come from, what is their role, and how can we use them in the best possible way. So the first trait we'd like to talk about is not to be a sucker, in Hebrew meaning frayer. Now, this characteristic is so strong in Israelis that it even develops in them a kind of fear. The fear of being cheated, of being conned, so that a person won't feel that he was cheated or conned in any way. And first of all, we'd like to understand where did we, the Israelis, develop such a trait from that lays so deep in our character. First of all, there is no such nation, the people of Israel, in a natural way like the rest of the nations of the world. As a nation, we were actually born under Abraham, our patriarch, who connected complete strangers from the 70 nations that lived in Babylon, and he called upon them to unite. And those that really felt that this is the solution to the crisis that they experienced back then in Babylon came to Abraham, and Abraham connected them in love another as thyself, in love covers for all crimes. And this society of his, it really succeeded in overcoming all the difficulties between them, the ego, even though that it wasn't that big like it is today, like ours. Life in Babylon was pretty simple. But he united them, he connected them, and this connection reached a spiritual degree. And Isaac, and Jacob, and Moses, Aaron, Joseph, David, and so on, until the destruction of the Second Temple, we lived in brotherly love, where every time we tried to overcome the natural hate between people that erupted also among us, between us, and we constantly tried to keep our unity even up to the point of love. Love, it means that I understand the desire of the other, and I raise his desire. I raise the importance of this desire above my own desire. This is really something very special. And so, we actually, for around 1,500 years, even a bit more, since ancient Babylon and until the destruction of the Second Temple, we lived according to the rule of love. That this entire group that Abraham called the people of Israel, because he himself is Avraham, meaning Av, the father of the nation, This group really worked against the egoistic nature, connecting between them, each of them annulling himself, annulling his ego, connecting with the others. And because this was going on for so many years, and this is something that came to us from the upper force, from the upper light, the general force of nature, that encompasses all of nature in a homogeneous harmony, in a global integral system. So it follows that this force operates in us and gave us the second nature, the desire to unite, the desire to love, the desire to be integrated with others, to feel close to each other. The destruction of the temple that happened 2,000 years ago, it actually put an end to all of this. What does Bet HaMikdash, the temple, mean? Bait means house, and Kedusha means holiness. Holiness is bestowal, love, mutual concessions. This all came to an end. So all these great qualities that we've achieved through Abraham and Moses and so on, it all disappeared from us, and therefore we went into a spiritual exile from those traits, and as a result, also into a corporeal exile from the land of Israel. Moving away from these qualities, this is actually the destruction. It's a result of the destruction, or the destruction itself? It's the destruction itself. The destruction of the temple is a result of the inner destruction. And then we went into exile. Into exile meaning that according to how we came closer to the rest of the nations of the world in our ego that overcame us, correspondingly we were thrown from place to place around the world. First of all, we lost the 10 tribes during the first temple. And the 2.5 tribes that were left, we went into exile, and we started wandering the world from place to place. And this is how we were, as long as they could stand us in a certain place until they threw us out. And of course, this exilic existence in which we were under a different rule, in foreign countries, in hatred, because in the meantime, these nations developed different religions that were opposed to our religion. We caused this too, because we left our religion, which is the wisdom of Kabbalah. Brotherly love. This is actually the religion of Israel, because Israel entirely existed according to the rule of love another as thyself. And when we left that, as a result of that, we developed religions and hatred towards us in the nations of the world. And therefore, in us, there are very opposite forms. On the one hand, we come from a place, from a rule, where everyone are brothers, undoubtedly. We feel it that there is no one who's great, someone who's small, someone who's important, someone who's non-important, but everyone's a Jew. Yeah, it's also customary to call each other Achi, my brother. It's part of our slang. Yeah, it's very rooted in everything. It could be the prime minister, and it could be someone from the market. When the prime minister comes to the marketplace and starts talking to someone, he comes up and hugs him, no problem. It's unbelievable. This is something that can't happen anywhere else. Can you imagine the Queen of England doing it? No way. And so this is how it is. It's not insolence. It's not. Interesting. It stems from that trait left in us from when we were truly brothers until the destruction of the temple. So that's left on the one hand. On the other hand, the ego that erupted among us, this ego positions us against each other. To the contrary, that I'm not a sucker. You can't trick me. I can see what you're thinking about. And this ego, it's one against the other. And we can see it in people's behavior, that they're jumping from extreme to extreme very easily. There's nothing in between. By the way, he can hug you, call you his brother, and at the very same time, screw you. Yeah? So, this people, more than any other nation, is extreme, very extreme. Because we came to the land of Israel. God help us. All of us with different cultures and with this oppositeness. And therefore, such a mixture took place here that it's really TNT. I don't know how else to call it. How does this people keep things together without the Torah? The Torah being love another as thyself. Without working on love another as thyself, where no one's concerned with it, neither the religious, nor the secular, nor the government, nowhere. So what follows is that the fact that we're still together, that's grace from above, hoping that maybe, sometime, we will understand who we are, and we'll do something about ourselves. Because still, these are very unique qualities that everyone has. Everyone is truly unique. But how to arrange these special people together? For this, you need that method that Abraham was talking about, where love covers for all crimes, that we actually have to keep our differences, but to connect upon them. Just to understand this feeling of fear of not being a sucker. Suppose I want to buy something. Never ever will I go to buy something without first finding out how much does it cost in other places. Meaning I'll never go see something, pay whatever they charge, and thank you, ma'am. On the contrary, if a moment later someone will come up and tell me that he bought the same thing cheaper, I'll die. Or if I have to invite a handyman, because this is where the real problems start, when you're in distress. You have a plumbing problem, electricity, no water, something happened. You depend on someone else. You invite a handyman. In advance, you know that he will rip you off. This anxiety of not being a sucker, where does it come from? And why are other people less anxious about these things than Israelis are? Where does all of this come from? The fear of being cheated. Pride. In the past, there was submissiveness towards others. There was connection. Everyone felt that the other is like his baby, that he's so close. And this is how it was until the destruction of the temple, where we were in possession of the quality of bestowal, of mutual love. But once we fell from that to unfounded hatred, then all these qualities, they turned into their very opposite. And then I don't feel that the other is so close to me. No? I also feel that he's opposed to me, and that he might cheat me more than any other person in the world, of any other different nation. You talked about the special quality, submissiveness, which is actually the exact opposite of not being a sucker. So the submissiveness, is it something that comes from the place of wanting to give, to be there for you? I treated others as my beloved children before the destruction. And after the destruction, I treat them the very opposite. The very opposite. Yeah. It's easier for me to get along with someone from a different nation than with an Israeli. Because that other person is simple, transparent. I understand him. He doesn't exactly understand me, but I understand him. Whereas with Israelis, it's very hard. Meaning, any quality that we identify today as a quality that controls us, the Israelis, and is conspicuous, it once had the opposite form that we used to have in the days of Abraham and in the times of the temple, and when it broke, it became, yeah. It's very interesting to see how each such positive quality became. This is how it always is with everything. Okay, so today I have a fear of being cheated, and I'm sure that that person will cheat me, only I'm not sure that I'll see how he does it. So what I'm trying to do is work on the damage control. Now, if we have such a quality, such a trait, it doesn't exist for no reason. You said this many times. How can a person take this fear of being screwed and use it for the better? I have to work at it. I have to enter a group where there is love of friends, brotherly love. I have to understand that no one can save himself from the situation we're in unless all of us connect with each other. And we ask of the upper force to give us the ability to love each other, to see our friends' virtues and not their shortcomings. And suppose I will feel love. I will no longer be afraid of being screwed in such a society. Not that you will or won't be afraid of it, but in a society where we will be connected by ties of at least friendship, if not love, that will understand that reaching connection between us is something great. Why? Because in our connection, we're starting to discover the upper force. We're getting a special force that protects us, that strengthens us, that elevates us above everyone, that we really begin to be a special nation like we deserve to be according to our Torah, according to the method of the wisdom of Kabbalah that speaks about love and connection. If we use love another as thyself, which is the great rule of the Torah, properly, we get forces like no other nation has. Another trait that goes hand in hand with not being a sucker is the Israeli chutzpah, insolence. It's very famous. The Israeli chutzpah has many shapes and forms. It doesn't appreciate, it doesn't respect laws, rules, authority, nothing. There's no such thing as standing in line. We have this from past generations too. We are a people that even the king of the nation used to serve the nation. We are a nation where there were no masters and slaves. We are a people that everyone felt that we're completely equal. It was never like it was in other nations. Hierarchy, grading, in society, what do you mean? This me, this you. No such thing didn't exist in the people of Israel. All of Israel are friends. So this is the reason why we're so against. We pay no attention to no one. What do you mean, rules, authority? You won't tell me what to do. I'll tell you what to do. We don't know how to yield toward anyone. It's because in the past we had. It's rooted in our DNA, meaning this feeling that we're all equal is rooted in us, and we can't suddenly, why not? How are we not equal? That he studied and he's smarter than I am? It doesn't matter. On the contrary, if he's smarter, he has to be less than I am, because anyone greater than his friend, his desires are greater than his, and so on. It's the very opposite. We have all these things inside us. But we use them with our ego. That's the problem. But really, at our essence, everything that we had back then, before our destruction, where the ego covered us, then all these things are now working in us to the contrary. How would you characterize chutzpah, insolence? That I have this valid force that I can rise, ascend, as it says, return, O people of Israel, to the Creator, your God. I have the power to reach the Creator, our God, the Creator, the uppermost force. Not this world, the upper world, that everything belongs to me, and I and the Creator, we're friends. We're connected together. We're in mutual love. So how could it be? I'm the upper, the superior. No one can tell me anything. But under pressure, under blows, under big threats, then of course a person becomes an animal, and then he yields. But if he becomes an animal, if he's not turned into an animal through blows, then an Israeli, he feels that he's better than everyone. Where does that come from? It's because at our essence, we have reshimot, inner discernments, that by their correct development, we can reach the degree of the Creator. We can reach His level. What can you do with such a people? Is it possible to direct them, to control them, manage them somehow? Talk to all of our prime ministers in the past 70 years, and they'll tell you, there's no such thing that you can control the people of Israel, that you can make laws and people will keep them and so on. Everyone disrespects and erases everything for you. Anyone can be prime minister. There's no such thing among the nations of the world. I grew up among them, I know. Now, if this characteristic is so unique, like you're saying, that it doesn't exist in other nations, that no one will tell me what to do, that this is the feeling of the chutzpah that you're talking about, that no one's greater than I am, no one can tell me what to do, no one can control me? Yeah. Now, if such a characteristic exists in us, then why? What for? In order for us to have a very big chutzpah, but for us to use this chutzpah to reach the upper force. What do you mean? If you talk to other nations, they have the readiness to submit. Both towards big bosses, managers, the police maybe. And we never had slaves. I'm mentioning this again. And therefore, everyone feels that the main thing is that I won't be a sucker. I'm not going to be a slave. A manager, maybe, if it's beneficial to be your manager. Great. You characterized it very sharply. What does this Israeli chutzpah exist for? It's all for spiritual purposes, that in the future we'll have to return to our destiny. And actually, it's the call of the hour. We have to do it right now. And then we'll use all of this chutzpah in order not to be afraid of anything. As simple as that. That really no one will make me a sucker. I will reach the Creator until He and I become as one. As it says, return, O people of Israel, to the Creator your God, and I'm not afraid of anything. This is the only thing that I need to reach. The sky is not the limit. Now, in this state, I become king of the world or what? Yeah? Yeah. And this exists in everyone. And this process, is it religious at its essence? Has nothing to do with religion or anything else, only with a person's desire and how to realize it. This is what the wisdom of Kabbalah speaks about. and it has nothing to do with any other method. The wisdom of Kabbalah explains only how to raise a person to the degree of the Creator. Dr. Lightman, our time's almost up. What I understand is that every trait that we have is, first of all, very different than what other nations have, and it exists for a reason. At the moment, we use all these things egoistically, which is not so good for us, but we can use them in a way that will truly benefit us. So, to be insolent in the best possible way, where can that lead a person? To the degree of the Creator? This is where our place is, and we have to pull the rest of the world with us. This is how we should relate to our role and also towards the rest of the world. To bring everyone to the upper force, to the Creator. Thank you very much, Dr. Lightman. Thank you, Nitza. Thank you for being with us. Till next time, all the best.